straight home, sweet home.
It is 4 after the hour, time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Starting off with an air quality alert for May 25th, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection has issued a code orange air quality alert for today. It means that air pollution concentrations within the region may become unhealthy for sensitive groups, including children, people suffering from asthma, heart disease, or other lung diseases, and the elderly. So stay inside, no strenuous activity. It is clear, 0% chance of precipitation today. It's May 25th, 2016. Sunny highs in the upper 80s, west winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 50s, west winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow's a mouthful, partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 80s, west winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming southwest around 5 in the afternoon, chance of rain is 30%. Partly sunny and a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon on Friday. Highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain 40%. Sunny, highs in the mid 80s on Saturday. On the 29th, Sunday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lower 80s. Chance of rain 40%. And now Memorial Day, 40% chance of showers. Mid 70s, mostly cloudy. And Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers. Highs in the upper 70s. That is Good Morning Hunter and Hunt Chamber Radio weather.
Okay, that was Big C. This is Colleen Kelly. I am filling in for Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People Radio. And today we have a very special guest. His name is Walter Rant. And he is the director of the Cybersecurity Center at Keene University. And he's going to be talking about an event that's very important for businesses at the Small Business Development Center is running it and are sponsoring it, correct?
Correct.
And they're going to be, okay, oh, good, you're there. I was just checking in with you. So this conference is going to really focus on ransomware, which is the number one cybersecurity threat. And I think it's important for all small businesses to attend these events because this is something that's on all of our minds. So, Walter, it's so nice to have you here. I'm just going to go to a quick break, and then we'll find out all about what's going on with you.
Great.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, welcome back. This is Talented People. My name is Colleen Kelly. I am filling in for Jeannie Murphy, who is always the host here. So please bear with me if I make a few mistakes here. I'm sitting with Carol Gable. She is the president and CEO of Seven Pearls LLC, and I've known Carol for quite a while now. We actually both worked on a cybersecurity event, and that's how we came to know each other. Her company is one of the leading New Jersey companies that, would you say it's a risk management company or consulting?
Right, right. So what I specialize in is helping businesses to mitigate their exposure in seven different areas. And one of the areas happens to be cybersecurity.
So now you're involved in this event that's coming up that we're going to be talking about today. And we also have Walter Rant on the phone. I just want to check and make sure you're there, Walter.
I'm standing by.
Okay, great. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit first about how you came to be involved in all these cybersecurity events that I hear about?
Sure. So as you know, from Lorraine Allen at the SBDC in Mercer County, we did an event together, and I also worked with Kate Muldoon at the William Patterson University SBDC. And from, you know, a number of these events that we've done together, word kind of got around, and before you know it, the Small Business Development Center, the executive director there is Dave Margulies with the SBDC at Kane University. And Dave called me and asked if I would come in, and he had some interesting news to share with me, unbeknownst to me, and I am an alum of Kane University. I graduated
good
from
for
that,
you.
Yeah, from the university. So it's quite an honor to be working with Walt and the Cybersecurity Center, but also the Small Business Development Center there at Kane. So I don't know if your listeners realize, but the SBDCs are funded by the Small Business Administration, and there are 12 of these centers throughout New Jersey. And I believe that all of them are housed in higher education institutions. So for your listeners that are not familiar with small business development centers, they're really quite a great resource. They help businesses grow, and there is no cost to get a consultation, and you're somewhat entitled to this service. You know, it's funded by taxpayers' money. So I would encourage your listeners to go to sbdc.com and look into the, you know, any small business development center that's near to them. So that was how this came to be. And I was quite surprised when I found out that, you know, Kane University has a cybersecurity center. So I'm not going to steal any of Walt's thunder, but I know you have a copy of his bio, so
I do.
I think it warrants a formal.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to introduce Mr. Walter F. Rant. Walt's the director of the Cybersecurity Center at Kane University, a 30-year veteran of the U.S. Army, and a 20-year veteran of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. here and overseas. Walt served as a special agent conducting global investigations spanning South America, Europe, the Caribbean, and the United States, involving money laundering, drug trafficking, terrorism, and identity theft. Wow. He worked out of Newark and the New York field offices, employing advanced cyber techniques in which computer-generated security was paramount. And this is such an important issue today, and I just can't wait to talk and hear all about this cybersecurity center that you're head of. I didn't even know that they had that there, so what a great thing. So, Walt, so nice to hear from you and have you here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, so we'll just get into it. Can you tell us a little bit about your, elaborate a little bit about on your background? It's so interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of covered it, one over the world. I spent 30 years in the military, different postings here and overseas. I was a combat arms a tanker by trade, but as I got to more of my senior positions, I became an instructor in the ROTC program, and for 16 years, great years, I taught up at the United States Military Academy at West Point. And one of the big things that we're talking about cybersecurity in general is my entire adult life, being in the Army and being in the FBI, information security was paramount. We lived that every day, and it was funny once I retired from the Army and I retired from the FBI, took the job as the director of the Cybersecurity Center. I didn't realize how much the people around me didn't understand cybersecurity. Because when you see it and live it every day, it becomes ingrained in you, and you don't think about it. And it wasn't until coming in January, when I started the job with the university, that I realized there's a lot of work to be done. I've used cybersecurity in my entire career in the FBI as one of support, as being a case agent, working every case that I worked with or worked for and completed in the 20 years. There was always some component of computer nuance to it, and whether it was for communication, whether it was for billing, whether it was for keeping track of things, the bad guys were always one step ahead of using the new and best techniques of trying to get around law enforcement. And what was interesting is I'm not a trained cybersecurity expert, but I worked with some really great people in the Bureau that taught me a lot, and without their support and help, I wouldn't have brought a lot of cases to the conclusions that were good for the government because of the ability of us to exploit their weaknesses in using computers and the ability for us to crack their cybersecurity. So the center at the university had started some years ago, believe it or not. It was the vision, or is the vision, I should say, of the president, President Farahi, and he saw the need for it. I believe in his earlier career, he was on the beginning throes of computers coming into the university when he was a younger man, and he realized some of the vulnerabilities then. And now, being the president and seeing how, in the recent years, how things have gone, he needed or wanted a center that, as we progress, will, you know, get better for the university. And like I said, two or three years elapsed. They started putting into place funding for it. They started putting his vision into kind of brick and mortar with the center. And,
is the center a learning? Is it a? Is it?
Well, it's a three-sided figure, much like a triangle. The bottom being, can't think of the word. The top two angles. I'll get back to it. The top two angles are, one being education. We are in the midst of starting our first classes in the fall semester for cybersecurity, and probably by 2018 have a degree-granting program at the university.
That's wonderful.
The other side being a laboratory training, if you will, and the final, thank God I remembered it, was policy. And we've reached out now to the state. The director of Homeland Security with cybersecurity is a guy by the name of David Weinstein, and we're in conversations with him now to discuss possible avenues to do a better job of cybersecurity training for the state, as well as municipalities, as well as counties, you know, the state at large, if you will, because there's so much that needs to be done, and a lot of folks don't have the ability to get the training. And where we differ at Kane, as opposed to a lot of other schools have cybersecurity centers, they're involved with research, with software, with hardware, and what have you. What we see, the huge difference, which goes across the entire spectrum of cybersecurity, is behavioral change. If the individual does not understand what he or she are doing at the keyboard, then all that other stuff is for naught, because, and I'll discuss later about vulnerabilities, that it can be as simple as you making a mistake, and regardless of how much great equipment you have, you're still going to be hacked, or in this case, have ransomware.
Walt, it's Carol. We also discussed the importance of businesses, since, you know, we're in at the Hunterton Chamber, and we, you know, involvement with the small business development centers. Is there a possibility for businesses to absolutely be involved in the training center as well? So say if I was a business, would it be possible for me to come into the center and get assistance in learning?
What we have set up along in our training side of the house is we are independent and running our own system, our own servers out of the center. And what we have set up with partnership with a company there in central New Jersey, a company by the name of Applied Information, their D2 side of the house is one of doing training videos, if you will. They're interactive training modules. And we have come up with a dozen different training modules that, and they're made for the individual. Let's say, you know, a company there in Hunterdon has a complement of 100 folks, and they want to get trained because they don't have their own IT side of the house. Well, we can get into conversation, come up with a price per head, and have them take their training via the web on any device, whether it be an iPad, whether it be a laptop, whether it be their phone. Any device, they can come in, sign in on with their sign-in and password that we'll give them, and they can take the training that will be given by their company. And what's great for the company is it gives a lot of metrics back to the bosses in that who took the training, when they take it, how well they did, and now they're starting to look at, okay, my sales force or my complement at large understands cyber readiness, understands about the term phishing, understands mobile apps that they can be, you know, a detriment to the entire company because once one breach happens, it's all interconnected and therefore not. Now, is this a silver bullet? No, it's not. But training and behavioral change has to be thought of and done, as I said in the earlier statement, every day. It's when dealing with computers, you are so vulnerable now because bad people understand how easy it is to take advantage, and everyone's a target. And I'll give you this. My old boss, Director Mueller in the FBI, had a quote saying that there's two types of companies: companies that have been hacked and companies that will be hacked.
Right.
It's an eventuality. And he said, and they will become one group. And that will be people that are hacked and hacked again. Because
right.
It's just one of those things that's just going to keep happening. And the best defense is a good offense. So if people understand what to expect, they're better off for it.
That's very, very true and very important for everybody to think about. And it's just a whole new area that businesses have to take notice and put these into their own policies. So we're just going to go. This is fascinating to me. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Okay, welcome back. This is Colleen Kelly. I'm filling in for Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. We are in the Hunterdon Chamber radio station here in Flemington, New Jersey. And in the studio with me, I have Carol Gable. She's the president and CEO of Seven Pearls, LLC. And we also have Walter Rant on the line, who's calling in. And he's the director of the Cybersecurity Center at Kane University. So, Carol, I'm going to put this over to you because you know everything about what's going on with this event that's coming up.
Sure, sure. So before we talk about the event, Walt, I just want to go back to where we left off during the last segment when you briefly touched upon, companies that have a breach. And oftentimes, Walt, as you know, it's unintentional. It could be a receptionist that, unintentionally allows, she's the gatekeeper or he's the gatekeeper, and something happens inadvertently. It could be even a laptop that's left behind. You know, oftentimes our listeners think that this is something that's, planned and it's malicious and it's attack, and oftentimes it is. But it's really quite common, right, that it could be unintentional by, someone within the company, or it could be a third-party vendor. Look at the situation with Target, where it was.
Right.
So if you could just talk to the audience about that.
Yeah, I can give you a little, insight. One of the things I think that I'm amazed of when people, I engage in conversation about cybersecurity, naturally, but we start talking to business owners and even corporate guys, bigger businesses, of the lack of awareness of everybody, and I'm no different than anybody else, everybody uses a computer for something. It's at the house, it's at the office, it's hell, they've got them at gyms now. And we talk about different universities, just computers are on every desk, on everywhere. Everybody's got a laptop. but nobody really thinks about what's going on. Wi-Fi, you know, public Wi-Fi is a dagger over your heart because people are waiting to take advantage of you. And one of the things with small businesses is that you could talk about it, you know, generally, and everybody's kind of aware, but if you don't know what to look for, and, you know, and I guess maybe a great thought process is if something looks wrong, if it's not right in your email, then we have a whole litany of training to go through of what you should do with that and what the company should do with that. But most people, because of small businesses, don't have a training side of the house, or they don't have, like I said before, about the IT side. They figure, I'll just open it. But the minute you open it, you're bringing in a virus. You're bringing in what we were discussing earlier, ransomware. You're bringing in something that's going to populate the entire system. And once that's done, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And like you said earlier, most of the breaches, everybody thinks that, oh, these guys are really intelligent and they're waiting to do a company. And it's not going to be us because they're not looking for a lot. They will do very simple phishing expeditions, and they will target a million different addresses. And because they're doing that is, now, a lot of people are going to go, I didn't win any money. I didn't put into, you know, this or that, and they delete it. But eventually, some people will go and open that up, and that's what they want. And what they'll do is they'll make money, not a lot of it, but if they make a little every 1,000 or every 10,000 people, they've made a lot of money. I just read this morning that 5 people were arrested by the FBI in the IRS scam that's been going around, and wow. I got cold in that scam.
Yeah.
These individuals were posing as the IRS and calling and saying, you owe money on your tax return. And this happens more and more frequent now with how things are happening. But those folks scammed 9,400 people out of $36 million.
Wow. I actually know somebody that got one of those calls. But
Yep.
So,
well, you know, two now because yeah. I got called.
Well, you know, and Walt, accounting firms would be ideal to, you know, educate and let them know that this type of activity goes on, right? So you think about who's the market that could really benefit from this.
Carol, let me go back one. Everyone can benefit from this because, like I said earlier, not only do you work on a computer at work, but you have your home computer. And people go, well, nobody's going to hack me. No, they're wrong. They go out mass mailings of this type of stuff to bring in as many as they can. So everybody's at risk. Every time you pop open a computer, consider that you may be doing something wrong, and you've got to think of what you're doing, not just arbitrarily going to the sites. That's the other thing. People like to go surf on the net. You're going to secure sites, you're going to unsecure sites, you're opening up emails, you're trying to get something for free. Well, the old adage is there's no free lunch. Well, people pay for it.
Right. Well, can we go back also to the Cybersecurity Center? Because you have the great fortune of working with a colleague, and we didn't really speak about Dr. Dryley. If you'd like to maybe introduce him into this discussion.
Yeah, well, going back, when the center was first stood up, if you will, Dr. James Dryley, who is head of public administration and criminal justice at the university, both those programs underneath the business school, was given the task of handling the cyber center. And he, as best he could, he was a man with a million missions, started to bring around good people for an advisory board so we can talk to leading experts here in New Jersey that are seeing stuff every day so we can stay, you know, ahead and stay current. Because one of the things that I noticed talking with Jim with criminal justice, his background is he was a police officer in East Orange, or is it West? No, I'm take that back. I think it's West Orange. And he culminated as the director there. We both have similar backgrounds. We both get along very well. and we complement each other because we've got the organizational skills and the ability to you know, make something out of nothing, if you will, because mm-hmm. we're getting guidance from the president. We're moving forward, and we're bringing this to light and making it a complete new program, because this is something different other than, if you will, you look at history, you look at math, and things don't change. You know, Columbus discovered this, and, you know, the war of such and such was that. That doesn't change. Cyber is an ever-changing discipline. So what was current today is not going to be current next year. And one of the things that he and I have discussed is, as we bring this to fruition and we have courses in the curriculum that we're going to instill, we have to keep on top of it and ever-changing to make the students, one, more aware of what's going on and be better prepared so when they do go out into the work environment that they're bringing the latest tools with them to do a good job. And one of the sad things, I guess, too, is that it's the ever education of cyber that we have to go through. And I think that this is going to be, in my estimation, what everybody's going to have to go through, not only the cyber security experts, but all of us users are going to have to, in some form or fashion, go through training all the time.
Right.
The Bureau and the military, we would go through this annually. Information security was something we take very seriously, and we would go through these interactive videos to stay on top of what's new. Well, I think people, as a whole, companies are going to have to be, and you asked me about it, and it's true, that these smaller companies that are around, that they can't afford to have a breach, because the time that they're down, the time that it's going to take to get back online and get back to service, I believe that, and we discussed earlier, the figure was 80% of small businesses go out of business in 3 months after a major ransomware hack because financially they can't get back to where they were.
Right, right. And I think that many of them do not understand the severe consequences. And we also talked about severe consequences. So if you think about ransomware, and I love this topic, especially for this cyber conference that is coming up, and we'll talk more about that. But I want to go into the whole definition of ransomware. For some of the audience, you know, they're familiar with cyber, it's a woo-woo kind of, you know, they can't see it. If somebody came to your door and they had a gun and they hold you for ransom, you see the person. With cyber, it's so mercurial. Like, you don't see it happening, so people think it's not going to happen to me.
Well, and you're right. And ransomware is, as you said, cybersecurity is cloudy enough. Ransomware gets even worse, because what people don't understand is the term, because somebody coined it.
Is it because they hold you for ransom? Is that like...
Well, yes. What happens is you get infected and you go to your computer. Let's say it's a small business and you aren't the breach point, but you come in, you go up to your computer, and on the screen there's going to read something to the fact of, at this particular time, you have been ransomed to the tune of, and there'll be a dollar figure. And if you don't pay within, and there'll be a counting clock down so many days, this ransom, that you will lose all your files, and they will disappear.
So, let's talk about the Bitcoins, too, because...
Well, I was going to get to that. Just you jumped one step ahead of me, is that you don't pay a ransom in dollars and cents to someone, because that you're going to be able to track. The ability to hide yourself on the web is interesting, in that we talk on the World Wide Web that everybody deals with. Picture a box, and everybody deals at the top of the box, and that's the World Wide Web. But down at the bottom of the box, down where it's dark and where you don't go, is the dark web. And there are certain ways to go and get into the dark web. And what happens is these individuals deal in the dark web because they can deal with guns, they can deal in drugs. Murder for hire is talked about on the dark web, And now Bitcoin is being used. Bitcoin is a program that had come out of, they've just identified the manufacturer of it, a guy, an Australian. And what happens is you'll pay money to buy Bitcoins because a Bitcoin is worth so much itself, and you will send it to a known URL that's given to you by the ransomers. And what happens is you can't track it on the dark web. So once, if it's $1,000 that your computer is being held for, you get the Bitcoin, you pay that.
How do you get the bit? Say if I'm like, okay, I got to pay this ransom, and so
just don't go to the bank, right?
How do I get my Bitcoin? It's done all online, and like I said, you're going to be dealing with your own accounts. But what's going to happen is you're going to have to go and log on into the dark web. And I tell people that don't understand this. It's like, you know, on a certain alley that there are individuals that are lascivious, that carry guns, that carry knives, and nobody goes there. Well, that's what the dark web is. That's the same type of area, because once you go onto the dark web, and I'm saying electronically, you're open even at that point for more hacking and more consternation on your machine and in your program. So it's something that you don't want to get into. And summing this all up, there's two things that people are doing now. I'll leave it at this. I don't want to give the answers to how you take care of ransomware, because if your listeners want to find that out, they need to come the 20th and listen to the experts. And what that is you pay it, and hopefully you get your files back, or you pay it and you don't, because they're criminals and they don't care. And usually, listening to some of the ethical hackers that we have on our advisory board, a lot of the times your files aren't lost. They're still on your machine. It's the malware that they've in put into your machine that you can't get through to get to your stuff. You understand? That's a little bit, I guess.
No, I do, but it's scary.
It's very scary. And, you know, Walt, to give Colleen and the listeners an idea of one Bitcoin, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about $467.70. So that's one Bitcoin.
And Carol, and again, I am not the expert, so I'll give you that could be. I think it depends on where they send you to deal this, because it could change the amount. But you are right. It's
not cheap.
It's worth an intrinsic amount of dollars and cents, and they ask for so much. But you could be like a Minnesota police department and say not anything to anybody and pay it, and then 2 days later get hit again and get asked for more money.
Yeah, they could, you know, virtually do whatever they want.
Right.
Here's the thing also, and I really want to get into this, because the most distressing or alarming part of ransomware to me is when you get into hospitals, right? So this is where it gets really scary, right, Walt? That if...
Well, and you and I have discussed this. One of the sad things about this is companies deal in products, deal in, you know, inert things, if you will. And it I don't want to say it doesn't hurt you. It hurts the company, but it doesn't hurt the product sitting there not getting delivered. What's scary about hospitals in the Washington area hospital chain that just got hit is hospitals are so interdependent now on computers that, you know, there's one in every room, and there's no such thing as a chart anymore for the patient. It's
right
on the computer. But the problem with that is all those computers are interlinked into one system, and if they get hacked and ransomware is put in, there's no backup system to do what needs to be done with all those patients. Now, when you start talking about a serious breach going down days on end, and someone, God forbid, dies because of that hack, now we've the whole landscape changes. Now,
Yeah. Now
this has gotten, I mean, how much more serious can it get when someone attributes a death to a ransomware hack?
Yeah, that was very alarming to me. So I think, again, another vertical that really needs to pay close attention to this really critical risk, you know, would be healthcare professionals. And it doesn't, I would think it would trickle down to even the medical centers, you know, where they're not in a hospital situation, but still it's important for the patients to get medication. And if the systems are down and they don't receive it, they could die, you know, so it's really imperative.
And that's exactly right. I mean, because now, because, you know, we, in our society, I think healthcare has just gone by leaps and bounds, and we're living longer, we've got healthier lives, we're doing great things. But along those lines, the computer has helped and assisted with that. And what has happened now is we've become addicted to the computer so much that if it shuts off, the nurse, the physical therapist, the doctor, I don't know what to do.
Well,
that's scary.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too. So you think about in the hospital situation, you have doctors and nurses, and, you know, even in the emergency room, everybody is on high energy and, you know, can be easily distracted. I remember you told me a story about a case of vulnerability, and it didn't have to do with the hospital, but it's just an example of how, you know, we go about our daily lives and then all of a sudden we're distracted by something so easily and mundane and you don't even think about it. Can you share that story with the audience?
Colleen, I'll give you an idea. It's a very good video in that a major computer magazine, a writer for one of the magazines, a very well thought of individual, wondered one day, I wonder how long it would take a hacker to take over my life, that I don't exist. So he went out to the Ethical Hackers Convention out in Vegas, and the name escapes me at the present, but he goes out and he sequestered four different hackers that were very well-known ethical hackers, very good guys, and he asked them and gave them the challenge, and the sad part of this story is within 15 minutes, one of the hackers got control of his bank accounts,
wow,
got control of his mortgage, got control over his entire life, changed all his passwords, and he, as a entity, ceased to exist.
That is crazy.
And I'll give you do we have time?
We have to go to a break, and I definitely want to give you, can you just tell us the end of this, and then we'll...
Well, the end of it was nothing was done more than his girlfriend with a baby crying on a loop in a speaker behind her called one of his credit card companies with no information, and she pleaded with the individual on the other side that she needed to get to the bank to make some deposits. Her husband was away on business, and she was desperate. That person at the credit card company gave all the information to her. He took that and parlayed it into all the other accounts.
Baby crying.
Wow.
And that shows you one thing. We are all vulnerable because we're all human and we all make mistakes. And that one mistake of that person trying to be a good person, thinking that, you know, and the situation was dire, ended his existence in about 15 minutes.
No, that's very, very true how we are all vulnerable. And I think it's important for everyone to listen to what you have to say. And we're just going to go to a quick break, and then we want to hear all about this event that's coming up. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, welcome back to Talented People. It's Wednesday, and we're headed into the Memorial Day weekend. We are here in the studio with Carol Gable, and we have on the line Walter Rant, who is talking about all kinds of important things that so many individuals and businesses need to think about these days. We're talking about cybersecurity and things like ransomware and malware and all these new words that are in, popping up in our language every day. So welcome back to the show. And Carol, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about this event that you have coming up. Can you just tell us what's going on with it? When is it? How can people sign up?
Sure. Very, very exciting. And, I just think this is so, so important. As you know, I've been working with businesses for over 20 years, advising them and being an advocate. And this is one topic that I really cannot stress the importance of becoming educated and mitigating that huge risk that we just talked about.
Well, just from our conversation today, I realize the need for even my company to go to these events.
Right. So the event is going to be held at Kane University in the STEM building, beautiful building. If you've never been to it, it's worth the trip just to go to see the building. It's beautiful. It is from 7:30 to 12:30 a.m. on June 20th. You could register at njsbdc.com/events or call 908-737-4220.
Who is this event for?
Everyone, as Walt said. There is not one individual I could think of that could not benefit from it, whether you are in business or you're retired and your grandchildren come home and play with your computer and then all of a sudden you find out that you're not who you thought you were because there was a breach at home, right, Walt?
Colleen, interesting when you said everyone. It is open to anyone that would like to attend, but I think this was a kind of a two-part reason why we did this. Is the Small Business Administration, Dave Margulies, and ourselves, we work pretty closely together, and he came up and said, hey, we'd like to do a symposium with business. What do you think's current? And this just happened to be at the time that we were discussing the ransomware breach of the Washington Consortium of Hospitals. And I said, hey, this is really, starting to become more and more of a problem. We really need to look at this. And we talked to the Board of Advisors, and they said, oh, yeah. He goes, this is a huge topic now, and hence we're topic of the 20th is ransomware. And one of the key things with the SBDC is, as Carol brought out before, this is for all businesses to come and share, because when she said 7:30, I know probably people went, 7:30? We're having continental breakfast for everybody and doing some networking so people can, you know, get to know some of the folks that are going to be there. And the way the program is going to run out is that we're having Assemblyman John Brannick that's going to be giving the keynote, and he has been very involved with cybersecurity for a while, and he is a champion of this for the state. And we're going to lead into panel discussions, what ransomware is going to be and what it is, and how to, you know, discern from other things on the net and what it is, and then hopefully talk about how to defeat and possibly defend it. And there are ways and things that we can do to, you know, best practices to stop it. So it should be a very good event as far as knowledgeability, if you will. I'm not sure if that's a word, but it's. I know every time I talk with the experts, I learn something more and more and more, and it gets me to think not only at the university and the center, but to take those practices home. I've got a pretty big family. We've got six kids, and they're all adults, and they all scare me because they're all the millennials with that phone and the computer and talking and texting and tweeting and Facebooking, and it scares me to no end, because we're so interconnected, and no one's really thinking of, hey, do I really need to send this? And there you go. So,
hey, right. Well, I just, real quickly, I'd love to go through the roster of speakers, because I do not think that the businesses out there will have this opportunity again anytime soon to have the array of speakers, you know, that you've been, you know, predominantly responsible for bringing together. So I think it might be a good idea if you talk a tiny bit about, especially the director of Homeland Security, Dave Weinstein.
Well, one of the big things is, and I mentioned it before, I introduced myself to Dave, and Dave came in. We had some great discussions on, you know, where the world is heading in cybersecurity, where the state is, because he is the director. I think they just celebrated an anniversary of a year, and underneath the bill that the governor signed, and they are trying to get their hands around this along with the federal government at the same time to, you know, go out and help businesses and people at large, all the taxpayers, to get a better idea of what's out there and how we can, you know, stop this. And he loved the idea of what the center is trying to do as far as, you know, virtual training that we can reach out and touch everybody that's got a computer and is on the web. They could receive our training for, you know, depending on who they are and what they are, for a cost, because then they don't have to have their own training department, if you will.
Right.
And that was with Dave Weinstein. We're also going to have the FBI, not that I'm partial, but I am.
Well,
I think we do a really good job with that.
Right.
One of the supervisory special agents from a cyber squad, John Leo, is going to be down. And he is in the midst right now of some very large investigations. And he'll share with us what he can as far as what ransomware is all, you know, going on in the state. We also are going to have Seth Danbury from Grid32. He's an ethical hacker, very well known guy in the field. He's going to be there.
Scott Schober. He's an author, right?
He's a well-known guy that's been on a lot of television shows. He has a new book out called Hacked Again, and he's going to be there. He's a wealth of knowledge. Pat Dempsey, the head of cyber for Prudential, one of the major companies in the state, very well spoken, very well, very knowledgeable guy. He's going to be on the panel. We're going to have some folks from insurance companies to talk what liability we're talking about and how they're going about getting policies to cover businesses with this.
Right. And also Karen Randall, who's a good friend of mine, and she's a partner at Connell Foley, expert in cybersecurity and all of the legal ramifications. So the idea of trying to have all these people under one roof and you get to be with them, it's just an incredible lineup. So kudos to you.
What we're going to do, too, Colleen, is we're going to have panel discussions, and so there's going to be questions from the audience, but we're also going to try to have the folks try to stay after, you know, the formal presentation is done.
I think everybody will have a lot of questions.
Well, and that's it. And we're going to try to have them stay afterwards. So, you know, that small business woman or guy that goes, oh, my gosh, I need to know this, that they can talk to a full-up expert right there and get the real deal of what's going on.
Well, the world is changing. And especially in business, I believe that, and you can tell me more about this, Carol, because of the risk involved, are they going to require businesses to have that kind of insurance?
Yes. Well, you have to notify when there's a breach. You've got notification that absolutely is in place. There's going to be, and Walt, I know you know this as well, we just spoke with underwriters, for a big insurance carrier, and there is definitely much more accountability and responsibility on the behalf of management.
Which is, that's a whole nother topic. And that's why this subject is so interesting because, like you said, Walt, it's ever changing.
Oh, and what you're going to find, Colleen, you asked, that was a phenomenal question. If that's going to happen, and I think, personally speaking, you're going to see businesses, you're going to see whole industries requiring continuing education units in cybersecurity annual. The same way the military does it, the same way the FBI does it, you're going to have everyone going to be required to do this because
this
is going to get so out of hand if we do not get some sort of handle on it and understand the threat to everyone. It's just going to happen.
Well, it's a very important topic, and I urge businesses to go to this. It's a symposium, you would call it, right? It's on June 20th, 7:15 a.m., Continental Breakfast. There's an amazing lineup that they just went over, and I really appreciate you coming on the show today and learning so much about what's going on with this, and I have so much more to learn.
We all do.
Right. And Carol, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Colleen.
Okay.
Really. And you too, Walt.
No, thank you. And for your listeners, if anybody's got any kind of training needs or questions, they can look me up at the university, and we're there to help and educate.
Okay. Well, that's our show for today. This is Talented People. We're here at the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio Station in Flemington, New Jersey. And I just want to say, everybody have a great week. And thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Nevada Democrats and Republicans met over the weekend, and according to Wyatt Cox, things didn't go so smoothly.
Some 65 delegates at Sunday's Nevada State Democratic Convention, most of whom were supporters of Bernie Sanders, were denied seating and given no opportunity to appeal on the floor as per convention rules. One of those local Democrats told us the fix was in, and what should have been a 1916 Nevada victory for Sanders instead became a 2015 Clinton victory. The Las Vegas Democratic headquarters closed after demonstrations from Sanders supporters in front of the offices on Monday. Meanwhile, no reports of trouble from the Nevada Republican convention in Reno, but one local GOP member described the convention as, quote, an exercise in preserving the status quo in party leadership, whatever it took. In Ely, Nevada, I'm Wyatt Cox.
This is USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Aaron, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arnn on why Americans should study the presidency.
People should study the American presidency because it's one of the three branches of government, and it's the part that acts. And so when the government gets ready to do something to us or to our allies or enemies in the world,